Because the Bible said that before the foundation of the world, God knows who are those people that will come to Him. Whether he'll be in a Christian family already, or from the different religions of the world, at the appointed time, God will visit that person and will call him in this faith. So I grew up, my dad is a pastor of a local church in the Philippines, in the province of Negros. And I, when I grew up, I saw the, I should say, a Christian way of living. Going to church every Sunday, going to church every Wednesday for midweek service, going for Bible study, and everything. And I grew up also studying on a Baptist school, where a Baptist church ran a secular school. So my parents decided to, you know, enroll me on that institution, since that Philippines is a very, if you know, the Philippines is a very Catholic country, and we've been colonized by the Spanish, and the Spanish is very known for the Catholic religion. They said that the Spanish bring Christianity in the Philippines, but actually it's not Christianity, it's Catholicism. When in fact, they bring a sword and a religion. If you will not accept the religion, you will have the sword. So, we have that book called The Cross and the Crescent. So, most of the family of my dad and my mom are very devoted Catholic, and then God called them at the time of our Lord, and then he was put in the ministry, and I grew up in the message, and I've seen a lot of things also happening in the message. Like Brother Zoel, for sure, that's why when we, Brother Zoel and I, has this fellowship, we have this one thing in common, because he grew up also seeing his dad preaching this gospel, and he told me that here in Singapore, it's not that easy that you just go on the street and put a pulpit there and preach. Like in the Philippines, you can do that anywhere you want. You can go to the public market, you can have your big microphone and, you know, preach. That's Philippines have the religious freedom there in our place. So on my part, I grow up seeing those things, seeing my dad preaching, but, you know, to be a real Christian, you have that personal encounter with the Lord. Not just because you are raised up on those kind of things. It must be a real relationship with the Lord Jesus. So I grew up also in the Baptist community. So my classmates have different religion. They are Pentecostals, Baptist. And when I was growing up, I also noticed that there's only one Bible that we're holding, but there are different kind of teaching. So me, even I'm a son of a preacher, of a pastor, my dad told me that, you know, you can check what I preach if it's in the Bible. You can ask your professor, you can ask your classmates, but make sure every night you come home and stay here because I'm your dad. If you don't want this kind of preaching, this kind of teaching, you can look somewhere else. I'm not going to hold you. So I've been with the Baptist people, the Pentecostal people, and there is something in this message that really, you know, got my attention, because it always refers to the Bible with the right interpretation of the Bible. And the thing that happened to me when I was in college, I always ask my dad, why we believe these things? Why we believe? And it takes up until midnight, till 1 a.m. in the morning. And then when I go to school, I heard another thing, strange doctrine that they preach. And then at night, I have to ask my dad again. You know, and the beautiful thing there that my parents always give me those freedom to search for myself. And that's one thing also I always tell to the people, that, you know, you got to be a Christian not because by the, well, influence is good, but you have that right revelation. You have that personal encounter. You have those bended knees. Because it's not that easy that just overnight you will know these things. Because Christianity is always, it's been 2,000 years already. And there's a lot of, you know, faction within the faith called Christianity, even here in the message that we are sending. That's why I remember when Jesus Christ asked Peter, those disciples, who am I to them? In the outside world, who am I? They said, they say you are a prophet. They say you're one of the prophets who came back to life. You're Jeremiah. Do you read that in your Bible? And then the question begins. Jesus asked the question, but it's more personal. To you. Who am I to you? And we know who's the best, I should say the most aggressive student of Jesus Christ. It was Peter, right? The quick trigger man. He's a very emotional apostle. When he gets happy, he always makes decision. And when he's sad, he always, you know, we always like to talk. And when Jesus Christ asked those disciples, who am I to you? And Peter answered, you're the Son. You're the Messiah. The Son of the living God. It's a personal question. So we might been asked, who is Jesus to us? It's the same question. Because Christianity is based on the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Son of the living God. This is not just a religion. Amen. To those who has a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, Christianity is not just an ordinary word. It is a life to us. It changed our life. From worldly thinking, amen, from a belief that, you know, it's a, we call it paganism, to a real faith with a real God. And when Peter answered that, Jesus Christ said, blessed art thou, Peter, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. So the same to us Christian. Every time we will go in this place, in this gathering, there must be a personal relationship. There must be a personal knowledge, personal revelation who Jesus is. Because right now, even in Christianity, they present Jesus Christ in different way. There are a faction of religion in the Philippines that teaches that Jesus Christ is just a man. No more than just a man. Well, we believe that he is just a man. But he is God. Hallelujah. He represents his Father here on earth. Hallelujah. He is the visible. God was made visible through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why we can see the Lord on the flesh. Just like Melchizedek, when he visited Abraham. It was God in the flesh. Hallelujah. And the beautiful thing that when Jesus Christ, hallelujah, went to heaven, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. The church is not comfortless, is not vacant with his presence. He sent his Holy Spirit back again. And that Holy Spirit, hallelujah, is the one who is searching those predestinated seed of God through all the world. And it's a privilege to me, even in my part, that I can see those people here in Singapore that also believe the message that I hold so dear. Because every time I ask my professor about certain things, they believe, Well, at first they're very excited because maybe they think that I'm interested with their, I'm very interested, but not to the point that I believe. Because the Bible said, try every spirit. It doesn't say, believe every spirit. No, try every spirit. So you don't have to be afraid. Because Jesus Christ said, none will be taken from my hand. All the Father has given unto me, they will never be lost. That's how confident Jesus Christ is with his people, with his bride. It will never be lost. Hallelujah. It may go through a difficult journey. Each and every one of us can have a testimony, at least with that. Different story, struggles that we made along the road, but we see the hand of the Lord, you know, taking care of us. And at his appointed time, he will really put you in your proper place. Because the Lord will not come unless you are not positionally placed in the body. You must know your part in the body. You cannot function well if you do not know your part in the body. That's why when I asked my professor, they're very excited. Oh, this is a son of a pastor. He's very interested with our teaching, since it's a Bible school as well. It has a secular school and it has a Bible school. So sometimes I sit like 30 minutes and, you know, try to look on things that they are teaching out. At first, they're very excited. And when things, questions become heated up, they get angry. They get angry. One time I asked them, how could it be one God and then you present it to be in three different persons? Three different beings and still the same one? I think it's wrong grammar, it's wrong English. Because when you say three person, you're referring three beings, eventually you're teaching three gods. No, it's still one. How can? It's too impossible. And then, when my father, you know, shared me those things, we know that there's only one God. Hallelujah. Amen. And that one God so loved the world. The Bible said so. It's in John 3:16, the most popular verse. He gave his only begotten son. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. Born in a manger, just like you and I. Born from our mama and papa. But Jesus Christ is not an ordinary man because his parents is not a human being. Hallelujah. He don't have a physical, natural mother or father. His mother and father is God himself. He called him his father. He prayed to his father. He even sing songs together with the disciples. He's the one who teach the disciple how to worship the Lord. He said to the woman at the well, the time will come that the people will not worship on this mountain or in this temple, because someday people will worship the Lord in spirit, worship God in spirit and in truth. And it doesn't matter where you're coming from. Whether you are Singaporean or a Filipino or American, anywhere, once the Spirit of the Lord, you will feel the presence of the Lord. It doesn't matter. You can worship the Lord anywhere, not only on Sunday. Do you believe that you can worship the Lord even in your schools, even in your job? I remember this when I think about the Lord, how He saved me. You can worship the Lord anywhere. Jesus Christ teach a kind of worship that the Israelite don't have that kind of worship, because they believe to worship the God of Israel, they have to bring sacrifices, you know, bring goats, bring sheep, and offer it. But Jesus Christ teaches a different worship. And that's our, what we call this, that's where we are gathering together, in that kind of worship. To have a fellowship with the one true God. Amen. And that God, hallelujah, lives in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he's not just an ordinary man. He is God manifest in the flesh. And we're not worshiping a man. We're worshiping a God, the living God. And yeah, when I graduated in college, hallelujah. Well, my mom always, you know, encourages me to be active in the ministry. Since my dad is a pastor, I'm the second. We have five siblings, and I'm the only boy among five children. The four are all ladies. And my mom always encouraged me to, you know, be active in the ministry. But I look the ministry not an inheritance. No, it's not an inheritance. It must be the Lord who must, you know, show you which part of the ministry are you. And I believe each and every one members of the Church of Jesus Christ had a part. Had a part. If you remember God, on the parable of Jesus Christ, He gave talents. So it's impossible that God will not give every one of us at least one talent. Amen. Do you know that your prayer is a talent? Yeah. Yes. I remember in the Philippines, the old ones say, Pastor, I cannot go. I cannot attend churches. Bible study. I'm very old. What can I help? Well, your prayer does. Do you know that prayer changes things? Hallelujah. And prayer is a powerful tool that touches the heart of God. I remember John Wesley, one of the reformers. John Wesley had a mother that can pray 4 to 8 hours a day. And then, I think they have 12 or 14 siblings. Just to think about it. 12, 14 siblings. When I visited the museum, there was a time here in Singapore that the parents only allowed for 2 kids. And I would say to myself, wow, is this really happening in Singapore? In the Philippines, now, one family can have 6, 8 children, 15. And we are overpopulated right now. You see? But the parents are prayerful. They're praying for their children. And I'm so blessed that I have that kind of mother. Not because that I was born in a Christian family, I was not exposed to these worldly things. I am. And I'm ashamed that, you know, I experienced those things. But I thank the hand of God who kept me all through those years. And one of that is the influence from the world, your classmates and everything. You know, sometimes I told myself that I'm not a pastor, kids. My dad is not a pastor. That's why I'm free to do this, I'm free to do that. But you know what? The Bible teaches in the book of Psalms that parents, you write the laws of God and put it on the neck of your children. Like a chain. Like a chain. And the Bible said, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's not an easy thing that they will, you know, depart easily because all their life they've been taught by the Word of God. Well, I just thank the Lord that it's His grace and mercy that, you know, keep this humble servant of yours. And then from Negros, it's an island. My grandfather is actually from Cebu. The father of my dad is from Cebu. So there was a move in the heart of my father to have an outreach in Cebu. You have to cross it by boat, by ferry. That's where Marivic is, been there. His family is there. So it's back way 1987. And then I grew up that my dad, I saw my dad every weekend going to that island, preach the message to the people. And then sometimes I go with him on that island. I was a little kid back there. And then I remember the brethren there, you know, they put me on their back and then we walk for hours. And then by the time that Pastor Graciano, my dad, is, you know, things will not be the same. He will be getting older. And then, yeah, so he decided to ordain one of a brother there to be the pastor on the congregation, because it's been a while that they don't have a pastor. It's the ministry started there 1987, so he ordained one of the brother, but it's God's sovereignty why that brother went with the Lord. So the pastoral is vacant. And then my mom always told me, why not you go there? Why not you at least try to help your dad? Well, I said to my dad that I'll just go there, just, you know, share the message, preach the message, but I will, by night I will be going home. I will not take a rest to have that ministry. And then when pandemic actually happened, since that time I'm decided also to, you know, get married with my wife, and we've been married for 3 years, almost 3 years. And during pandemic, that's the time I decided to get married. And things is very difficult to travel, but I believe that if you're really in love, it doesn't matter. It's COVID. I don't care if it's COVID. I got to be to get married. The same with the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what happened to the world. We are already betrothed to the Son of God. How many excited that one day He's coming to take you and to be with His side forever. Not forever, for eternity. Jesus said, I'll go and prepare a place for you. And when it's ready, I'll be coming back. And I will take you. And with wherever I am, there you will be also. So it's a beautiful thing that you will be in love. Because it doesn't matter what happened. Amen. You will go for the goal. Like Mother Zoel did. Well, actually, during the time when we heard that Brother Zoel will get married with Sister Mary Vic, actually, we're very excited, because by the time Brother Richard Gunn is still with us, and we're hoping that we can meet him, especially with my dad, because Brother Richard had visited our place in Negros, I think, once. And then we also have the privilege to, you know, to read the books of our dear brother. And then his ministry actually is very, shall we say, very influential in the Philippines. And you know here, you believers in his congregation very knows that very well. And so when pandemic is at its height, I decided to have a vaccine so I can travel. Those that are not yet vaccinated, they just quarantine in their house. So I have the opportunity to go to Manila to get married. And then my mom told me, how about Cebu? No, it's since pandemic strikes, there's no elders from the church that can travel to feed the flock in Tabuelan. So I decided, okay, I'll go since I am vaccinated. And then almost every Sunday I go there. And then I don't, for some reason, the believers talk to each other, and without my knowing, they decided to contact Brother Graciano, my dad, and they asked, Pastor, we want someone to pastor us here in Tabuelan. And without my knowing, they were asking for me. And when I realized that they're asking for me, I went to Manila for 3 months, I think, 4 months. We traveled back at the place of my wife, since my wife is from Manila. She's a Tagalog, and she's also the daughter of Franco, Pastor Franco of Tugunon. Some of you may know the Tugunon brothers. That's her brothers. So When we get married, Pastor Franco is no longer with us, so when I ask her hand, I have to talk with the three pastors. Before I courted her, I called her brother. Pastor, can I court your sister? I did it properly. Since I know that her brother are all pastor, man, you have to be careful. So it's a beautiful thing that, you know, God is taking care of everything. And then we get married in Manila. So when I heard the news that the people in Cebu, in Tabuelan, is asking for my service, if I'm willing to be their pastor, I decided to go to Manila with my wife, and we stayed there for 3 months. And then my sister texted me. They said, the people in Cebu is really looking for you. And then, you know, as I mentioned, it's not because you're a pastor, kids. Automatically, you're a pastor. No, no, no. And a pastor's job is not an easy job. We know that pastor is a burden bearer. If you have three congregation, well, that's good. You have to take care of three. But if you have like families in your congregation and some of the believers, the parents are older than you, then I'm still young. And my members are already, you know what I mean? So that's one of the reasons that, you know, committing it to the Lord. But I remember when my mom is still with us, because my mom is already with the Lord. That's why the rapture is a very dear thing to me, because there's already someone is waiting beyond the courting of time. So when I was still in Negros, when my mom is still with us, she always pray for me. When I was sleeping, she always prayed for me. She really wants me to be active in the ministry, especially behind the pulpit, which personally, me, no, I don't. Just give me the guitar and piano. Just make me a song leader, because I'm that's my ministry before, you know, God called me behind the pulpit. So even in our church, never one time that I became a young people, you know, leader or something like a young people, we called it president or just a leader, no. Because on my part, when I saw some young man who has the potential to be a leader, I always encourage them, you do the leadership. I'll just be at your back and be your number one supporter. And I did. Because I want to support the work of the Lord. Just don't put me on the front line. So, yeah, so when we going back from Manila, and then I asked my wife if what will be her part, since that I begin to considering the task ahead of me. And then the most beautiful thing is, because my wife is also brought up in a Christian family, her dad is a pastor, her brothers are pastors, somehow she has an experience with the ministry as well. She knows what a pastor's wife should be. And then my dad just told me, just stay there for 3 months. You're not a pastor yet, but go there and stay there just for 3 months and try to do the pastoral thing, but you're not yet a pastor, but just for 3 months. And then when we decided, my wife is in advance, you know, searching for a place to stay. All we prayed is, Lord, just give us a house with internet connection, with electricity. Since the place, if Brother Zoel has been there. It's a mountainous area. It's a rocky mountain. And before anything else, I would like to say thank you to the church here in Singapore for the love gifts that you send over. The church right now is being constructed, and we're very excited what the Lord may do in the ministry in Cebu. So, since that we have a day job, both of us, and we have clients in the state eventually, so we just pray that, you know, we can keep our job, and then we can stay there for good. And then after 3 months, the church in Sagay, together with the brethren, visited us, and then the appointed time, I could say that it's a privilege to serve the Lord. The ministry, it's not a competition. It's teamwork. I always have that in my heart and in my mind. This is not a competition. If you've seen something better on other sister churches, the Bible said, whatever things that are true, are pure, whatever things that had good report, add it to your faith. That's how we grow in the Lord. It's never a competition. That's why I'm always excited. I told my wife, maybe this is the first, not the last travel that we will making. So I hope that this will be not my last visiting here in Singapore. There will be many in the future. That's why when I take pictures and send it to my sisters, they were very excited. Oh, I wish we could visit Singapore as well. I told them, just make sure you have your passport first. So, yeah. So your dear brother is doing the work of the Lord there in Cebu. I can say that it's a different lifestyle on the place where I grew up. So. Not really that high-end city like here in Singapore when I first, you know, landed in the airport. And I say, wow, is this really? They said that Singapore is a first world country. It is indeed. The traffic are very smooth in the Philippines. My God, you have to travel for like 5 kilometers, and then you have to stay for 2 hours. You go to the office by 7, you have to take a bus by 5. That's why I can say also that, you know, you people here, believers in the Singapore, somehow you are also blessed by the Lord. And make use of it to serve Him. Amen. You have all the... you have the privilege to serve the Lord freely. Amen. I know it's a different from the Philippines, but I can say that you've been blessed. As well we are. The reason why we are all been blessed because we are in the arms of the Lord. We are in His plan. So that's my testimony when I accept the Lord. When I was a child, and then accept the ministry, and then I know that it will not be like this way forever. There will come a time that it's gonna end. And that's when the final day that the Lord has promised will come. The most beautiful thing that the Lord promised before He went to glory. He said, I will come back. And the most beautiful thing is, before His physical appearance, we will meet Him in the clouds. Even though some don't believe a literal coming, they already settled with, I don't know why they're settled with such teaching that there's no physical coming. But I do believe there is a physical coming. How many excited to see our Lord? The prophet of God said that when I will, Brother Branham said, when I will meet Jesus Christ, I will crawl. Imagine. It's just a story in the book, but it's real. One man hung on the tree for the sins of humanity. And who among here are so blessed and so happy that you are a beneficiary of that blood? They say that all of your sins are forgiven. Past, present, future. Hallelujah. If you are a Christian and then you keep on stumbling, don't worry. Just ask the Lord for forgiveness. Just make sure, hallelujah, that every time you get up, you have the heart to pursue, to move forward. Don't stay where you are. Move forward. Move with the Spirit of the Lord. Move where His presence is. Move where the current dealing of the Lord is. Don't be left behind. Because before going to the rapture, before seeing Jesus Christ in a physical form, you have to meet Him first spiritually in your life. That's why there is a Holy Ghost. There is a Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You have that personal encounter first with that Spirit before meeting the physical Jesus Christ. And I know it's not so long. There's a song. I don't know if you know that song. It won't be long. We'll be living here. How many years are still enjoying this kind of world that we're living? Even in my part, I say, I'm excited to be in that beautiful day. How many here are excited? But I would say, if there is one, for sure, in this room, when the rapture will take place tomorrow, I'm pretty sure there's only one. There's one that will make it in the rapture. Who's going to be? Me. And then you will say, how about me, brother? Well, take your part. You will not be in the rapture because your brother is a pastor, your father is a pastor, your parents is a pastor. No, it's not the qualification. Amen. The qualification is you must know the Lord. Not the way denomination presented Jesus Christ, but what the Spirit of the Lord in this day presented Jesus Christ to us. Hallelujah. And how many of you here are really on that solid ground, standing on that revelation, knowing who the Lord Jesus Christ is? Without a shadow of doubt, from the Scriptures, you really know the Lord. Amen. Not the second person of the Trinity, or He is the Father Himself who became a man. No. Hallelujah. You have that revelation just like the apostles when they know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why when Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, 100% correct. Hallelujah. And we are very thankful and thanking the Lord for the opportunity. And me and my wife, when we were at the hotel, I told him that it's the first time that, you know, I'm going to talk behind the pulpit and, you know, speak straight in English. And since last night, I keep on praying, actually. And I'm not feeling well when I come here. Marivic knows that. I feel groggy. And I said, Lord, just help me. I'm not really, you know, good in speaking English. But as I pray to Lord, just, Lord, make those language barrier begun so that, you know, I could be a blessing to the people in Singapore. Amen. We love the same message. We love the same spirit. Amen. The Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I just want to be a blessing to you people here in Singapore. Just continue to pray for us in the Philippines as well. We there praying for you here. And if we cannot, if we will not see again, sa, on that beautiful day, we can, you know, we will see each other there. Hallelujah. And I'm very convinced, amen, that the work of the Lord, amen, is getting into high pace, you know, because His coming is very soon. We're not going back to history where He was born. Right now in the Philippines, they are now on the spirit of Christmas because the Philippines has this, what we call this, a long celebration of the birth of Christ. We celebrate it when the month is already birth. Like, for example, we're September. The spirit of Christmas now is, we celebrate it already in the Philippines. September, October, November, December, 4 months. That's how they devoted on the spirit of the time, reminiscing the time when Jesus Christ was born. But actually, it's not the birth of Christ, but it's more business. Yeah? They sell cards, they sell lights, beautiful lights. So it's business. It's not really the thought that once upon a time the Son of God was born in a manger. But that is history. We're just, you know, we're not going there. We're going forward. Where? To His coming. We're not looking back. It's already been done. Hallelujah. And we're so excited, hallelujah, to be a part of that beautiful day, that beautiful rapture. So I hope that this will be not my last time visiting here in your place, maybe in the near future. Maybe I can bring some of my brothers and sisters there, and just make sure they have their passport first, and we can have a fellowship, beautiful fellowship. That's the most important thing. They have fellowship on the Word, because whatever things that may happen, yes, the excitement is there. We can see beautiful places, but there's no more beautiful than to have a fellowship on the Word. Because the Word will make us ready. That Word will make you ready, hallelujah, for that beautiful day. God bless you, everyone.